gigs outdoors as musicians here and there, right. But not much.
Yeah. And maybe you should give your backgrounds a little, because did you start?
A second.
Second.
Second for Mr. Vosburgh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. The public hearing is hereby closed. And upon hearing no comments, the board passed a resolution. In order to pass this resolution, actually, we will close the public hearing, and now we're going to open our town board committee meeting. Today is January 18th. The resolution, which the public hearing was just conducted, will be the first order of business for the committee. So, presenting the following for consideration and adoption, Greene County Real Property Tax Service has requested, in order to properly administer the 2017 assessment roll, with respect to senior citizens and disabled low-income tax exemptions, the maximum income limit be adopted for 2017. And whereas the town board of the town of Catskill held a public hearing with all persons who wish to be heard able to do so, and whereas upon recommendation of the Greene County Legislature that the maximum income limit be set at $26,500 with full sliding scale for 2017. And if said owners fulfill certain qualifications, including a limited income, which does not exceed an amount filed by this board, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, resolve to adopt Local Law 1 and 2 of 2017, which states that the income of the owner of the or the combined owners of real property who are 65 years of age or over must not exceed $26,500. Be it further resolved that the sliding scale provision of Real Property Tax Law Section 467, paragraph 1B, 1, 1B2, and 1B3 in section 459C shall remain in effect and be and hereby is adopted regarding this exemption. Be it further resolved that this income amount shall be effective for the assessment rolls based on the taxable status date of March 1st, 2017 and after. I would entertain a motion for consideration and adoption.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Vosper. Second.
Second
by Mr. Antonelli. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? This motion is carried. Resolution is carried. Approved. Resolved. All right. We have several other items to consider and adopt. Let's start with our Zoning Board of Appeals and Planning Board appointments. Need a motion. This was presented by the Zoning Board of Appeals, whereas Board of Appeals, Mary Beth Lang has served on the Zoning Board of Appeals and her term expired on December 31st, 2016. She's expressed an interest to continue as a member of the board and was so recommended by the Zoning Board. Therefore, we'll entertain a motion to reappoint Ms. Lang.
Motion.
Mary Beth Lang. Motion by Mr. McCulloch.
Second.
Second by Mr. Vosburgh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ms. Lang will be reappointed, and that is effective January 1st, 2017. Planning Board, presented by Chairman Izzo. Dan Arshak's term on the Planning Board expired December 31st, 2016. It is the recommendation of the Planning Board to have Thomas Decker's appointment change from alternate member to full member of the Planning Board. And it is also the recommendation of the Planning Board to appoint Dan Arshak as alternate member to said board. So we are looking for a motion to appoint Thomas Decker as member to the planning board with his term beginning on January 1st of 2017 and expiring December 31st, 2022. And be it further resolved, we hereby appoint Dan Arshak as alternate member to the planning board effective January 1st, 2017. Need a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Vosburgh.
Second.
Second by Mr. McCulloch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Resolution is carried. Another planning board recommendation that by the members of the planning board that Joseph Izzo is to continue in his role as chair of the planning board, and whereas Harry Sacco is to continue in his role as vice chair of the planning board. So I will entertain a motion to appoint Mr. Izzo and Mr. Sacco.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. McCulloch.
Second.
Second by Mr. Antonelli. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. That's a term January 1st, 2017 through December 31st, 2017. Appointment of chair and vice chair to Zoning Board of Appeals. As recommended by the members of the Zoning Board of Appeals, Gary Harvey is to continue in his role as chair of the Zoning Board, and Regina Daly is to be vice chair of the Zoning Board. So I need a motion for the to follow through on the recommendation by the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Vosburgh.
Second.
Mr. McCulloch, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Abstain.
Abstain by Mr. Antonelli. Lacey Ford, Crossroad Ford, Rhinebeck Ford. As the recommendation of the town's mechanic, Jack Ormerod, and the ambulance administrator, George June, to use Crossroad Ford as they have done previous work on vehicles in the fleet at a quality level. The bid is, let's see, we had three bids, $14,951, $15,542, $16,562. Crossroad Ford's in the middle, and they have a specific expertise and experience with us, and I believe the recommendation is to go with Crossroad. Need a motion?
Motion.
Motion for Mr. McCulloch. Second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Vosburgh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Abstain by Mr. Giordino. Okay, I did copy this resolution, which are budget amendments, and I would ask, this is not an increase or a decrease to the budget.
Just
this
moving
is
money
moving money to the appropriate departments, and also because last year was our first year at coding to the degree that we were, a lot of this was new coding, which we will not have to do again, she said confidently. So I'm going to ask that the board take a look. From the public's perspective, I have asked Clerk Izzo to go ahead and post this so that if anyone has an interest in looking at it, but it is the amount of $70,000 that has just been basically moved to different lines in the budget. No increase, no decrease. Upon taking a look at it, folks, which I will entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
To make these moves to general fund appropriations to the accounts that are listed in transfers. Mr. Giordano has made the motion. I'll take a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Vosburgh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. And there's backup on this too. Highway DB budget amendment. For consideration and adoption, the following budget amendments for 2016 need to be made to the following accounts. This is similar. No change in the dollars here. This is just moving it from 5110 to 5130. So it's the same amount. It's going into the vehicle maintenance fund for chargeback purposes. from Central Garage, I think, is what I'm looking at.
Yep.
Okay. I would entertain a motion.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. McCullough.
Second.
Second by Mr. Giordano. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is carried. And our final exercise is around the authorizing myself to sign a contract with Greene County EMS. The Town of Catskill and Greene County Emergency Medical Systems are desirous of entering into a contract for mutual aid to the Town of Catskill. The services will be provided as a first response or support service, and the fee for such service will be based on the estimated number of transfer calls divided by the number of other towns' county tax levied contribution to GCEMS. Amount of each call will be rounded to $522, which will be billed on a monthly basis. So we, the Town of Catskill, authorize, and I have had the contract reviewed by Mr. Smith, the town attorney, so I will entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Mr. Giordano.
Second.
Second by Mr. McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And the motion is carried. And we have two other items. So we have the cemetery.
You
don't need a resolution. Don't need a resolution for that. It's just the deed. Okay.
Then we have to test the local law, right?
We
the local law.
The local law.
The public hearing.
The public hearing and the local law.
You passed that at the first resolution.
That was the first resolution we did.
Okay.
On the local law.
If you want to pass those changes to the zoning board of appeals.
Right. Did we send those out? Everyone saw those, right?
Yes.
Zoning board of appeals.
Yes.
So we'll entertain a motion to approve the zoning board of appeals governing rules that we reviewed. To entertain a motion.
Motion.
Motion for Mr. McCullough.
Second.
Second by Mr. Vosburgh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Zoning Board of Appeals governing rules are adopted. You'll communicate to the board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do we need to do with the cemetery? Nothing? Just read it. Do we have some...
Dave, I'm going to do an agreement, an understanding of what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Elizabeth...
Yeah, I've got it here just for the public's and for sharing with the rest of the board. County will purchase 100 grave sites in Jefferson Rural. The agreed price of the lots is set at $500, which includes the site opening and closing of the grave. The total agreed upon price with the county is $50,000. Included in the above price is the cost of winter burial, a maximum of two cremains to be buried in one grave site. And
that's cremations.
Right, right. Any DSS client with veteran status will be buried in the veteran section if requested. And this will be for the exclusive use of the county's management of their DSS clients. And the deeds to the grave sites will be issued in the name of the county. We'll have a letter of agreement drawn up.
Yep.
Bob and I have worked on this. You guys have toured the...
We're going to issue separate deeds for all 100 sites.
Elizabeth?
I was thinking one deed with the individual sites listed.
Well, this is off our budget line, okay?
Okay.
So basically, we're going to treat it as a prepaid expense.
Mm-hmm.
So as we use each grave site, we will charge that grave site to that. And
Why?
When we get down to a few, we'll purchase more.
Mm-hmm.
We anticipate the 100 will probably last us about a year and nine months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We do about 60 burials a year.
Okay.
I do have one question, though.
Mm-hmm.
The cremations, we're talking about putting two in each gravesite. Do they need a grave liner? Or do they need a container?
I don't think so, but I'll have to check on it here.
Okay, because I think we need to, you know,
be clear.
I mean, the regular body needs the ball.
Yeah, but I don't know about cremains.
Let me check on cremations.
There's a little miniature vault for cremations.
Okay.
Because Association of Cemeteries have basically said to me that they would do two cremains to a gravesite, but they need to be in a...
separate container.
Container.
Some sort of an identified container. Okay.
Well, you're going to put it in any container, but you want to know... the container's going into a, like a vault.
Yeah, they wanted it in a vault.
In a vault, you don't have a container to put the ashes in.
I mean, if I'm going to buy a vault for a casket, I should be able to put 10 cremains in there. But, you know.
Right. So we'll find out what the guidelines on that. I don't know about the deeds. What's
in fact, I'll find out. Maybe you can put six together because each of the lots are 20 by 20.
So. Connie did agree to provide markers, so I will follow through on that.
Mm-hmm.
I still have to negotiate with the vault people to see, and we're probably going to purchase 5 or 10 ahead of time at a discount. We already get a discounted rate for DSS people anyway,
mm-hmm.
but we will be doing all DSS burials in Catskill. Because you basically are the only cemetery that has the facilities that we need,
mm-hmm.
especially for winter burials.
Okay.
We cannot afford to be storing remains until spring.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
The little boxes that they put the ashes in are called columbari. It's a columbarium. So yeah. When you're looking for that, that's what you're buying. And they do have separate walls. That's okay. A requirement of state law. So you're buying like a box with lots of little boxes inside.
Okay.
Don't ask me how it is.
Understood. Thank you, though. So we'll let you
Delaware knows
clerk
everything.
Izzo determine multiple deeds, one deed. Yeah. I don't know, whatever is appropriate and makes the most sense for both parties and if there's any legalities involved.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll get a memorandum of agreement from you folks, and we'll be happy
to
follow.
Let us do it, and you can pass it by your council.
Absolutely.
It's basically going to restate what's there.
What's there.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
Just so that when we're all gone, that somebody will know what the agreement was.
Understood.
And I will assume that the agreement will carry on even after we use these 100. We'll probably buy another 100.
Right. And I don't know if there's any value in putting a cap on this. I think for as long as sound minds assume there's space, I know Bob has said that, we have room to do this with you, and I think we just leave it as an open-ended agreement unless someone else would come in at a later date and say,
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
The hotel's full.
And I want to thank
you. Passed the resolution last night.
Excellent.
Authorizing the purchase.
All right.
So that is being voted on as we speak.
All right. And the only thing we need to vote on is when it comes into our budget, just that it'll be more revenue. I don't even know if we have to do anything.
No, you don't have to do anything.
Good. We'll just spend it. Thank you. and it was a pleasure working with you, Treasurer. And a pleasure working with Mr. Antonelli, who has taught me more about cemeteries than I do. So I appreciate that.
That's so shortly I'm going there.
Yeah, you got a ways to go.
We have free pictures.
Do you have a nice spot under the tree picked out?
It's purchased. We thank you for your. All right. Okay. Other items. Before we ask Mary Beth to review with us our building repair. Any items from our, George.
One thing, want permission to go ahead and purchase the remaining two computers, tablet computers. We have enough money in the 16 budget to buy 4 of them. I need 2 more. So I just want to go ahead and complete that purchase.
Is it?
With the budgeted funds.
That we pulled forward from 16.
Oh, no, we pulled what we had.
Well, it's in the 17, yes.
It's
in the
17.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
To do that.
Yep, we talked about that.
I make a motion to approve the ambulance administrator's purchase of 2 tablets.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. There should be iPads.
Opposed? But. All right, that motion is carried. Other items before we turn it over to Mary Beth.
Sean, got anything?
No, I'm good.
Are you good? Thank you for your work during the recent not snow but ice.
Yeah.
So I did get a request from Mr. Garrison. We'll work through that with Ms.
Yes, I spoke
Izzo.
With him.
And he and I spoke. We'll get the specifics together around that road.
31st, 1st or 2nd worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
31st I don't think is going to work for us, right? Paul?
31st of
January. Don't we have training?
Yes.
So.
Okay. All right, well, we'll work something out. He's leaving for a couple of weeks. We'll figure that out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything from our attendees tonight? Anything from our public attendees? And if not, I'm going to introduce Mary Beth from Delaware. The purpose of Mary Beth's visit tonight, we have closed down the sewer, if you have any items about the sewer, but otherwise to review with us the work that we're trying to initiate on the building, just to get an assessment on the building.
So, I think everybody knows who I am, but I always like introducing myself. I'm Mary Beth Bianconi. I'm from Delaware Engineering.
And we're just here to help, as usual. So, Doreen had asked if we could take a look at this building and the building on Brandeis Alley, the one that's behind here. It's also owned by the town. Obviously, this building was rehabilitated not that long ago. But particularly in the back of the structure, the original building extended out where the parking is. So that whole area, when the building was redone to put in the handicap accessibility, a portion of that building was torn down. If you go out there, you can see in this facing wall where there's been water leaks and a bunch of other things. The other thing that you can see if you go on Brandeis Alley and look back at this building and the part that extends out, you can see that the foundation is falling fairly significantly. It is like many structures around here. It was built with concrete, it's aggregate, no rebar. So it is held together by, you know, God's will and some glue, which is fine and has lasted for a very long time, but we can see the effects of water in it. So I think we need to consider that and probably some other issues here in the building as well, just as it's aging. So that's one aspect of this. The other is to look at the building on Brandeis Alley, which is connected to another building owned by somebody else. There's a little bit of parking back there. That building is actually, it's kind of interesting. I've driven by a million times, never really looked at it. I went down to pictures of it. It's actually a pretty cool building. It's got a lot of really neat architectural features. But my understanding is it's more or less used for storage. So assessing that building, its condition, is there anything that we need to be done to make it more useful for the community, if there's something you want to do with it?
Well, or it's not just storage, it's just deviated.
Yeah, so that's part of this, would be finding out what you're using it for, those kinds of things, what you want to use it for. Is there an opportunity to, one of the things we always need around here is parking. Do you want to look at perhaps eliminating it in favor of parking? So the idea of this is not to make any decisions, but is to evaluate all those things. Determine what your needs are. So this basically is collect as much information as we can get, meet with you guys and determine what your needs are in this building, things that you may be aware of, you know going on here that should be evaluated and looked at, that building, what is its use, what's the space like on the inside, you know, occupancy issues, those kinds of things, if you use it for public assembly, that kind of stuff, and come up with sort of a list of recommendations and say, all right, Here's what we have, here's what we want to do with these things, here's a future of what we would need to invest in these things, basic cost estimate. And then Doreen had spoken with Stanford,
I can't remember his last name.
I can't think of it, from the USDA. He's got a funny last name. It's like Wilkes-Barre.
Mm-hmm.
And the USDA has a program for investment in municipal facilities. And so that's an opportunity. There aren't a lot of opportunities to get money from outside of your community to invest in your public buildings, particularly buildings that carry out the purposes of general government, which is a restriction on spending that kind of money. So part of the idea here is that we create an assessment that could be used to go see if we could get financing, funding, grants from outside sources. So this is a very, and I just gave you a little thing that shows some of the buildings that we've worked on here in the county and in the surrounding counties. We do a lot of municipal buildings. We're not architects, you want beautiful, that's not us, but we can do all of the building systems and the structures and those kinds of things, and I think that's really what you're looking for here is a building assessment. So we're looking at kind of a couple stages of this. Gather as much information as we have. To the extent that there were plans done when this building was redone, they may be very, very helpful. We realize that there may not be any as-built drawings or anything of the building on Brandeis Alley. It's very old. But gather all of that. Gather information about utilities. There are many utilities that run through Brandeis Alley. And understanding
where they are, water lines, sewer lines, drainage lines. There's also a couple of other utilities back there, just so that you kind of have an eyes wide open approach as you go into looking at this. Looking specifically at the back of the building in terms of the roof leaders and drainage and the issues that occurred with the windows and things in the back and the foundation. Gathering all that information together, doing a needs analysis with you and whoever else you want involved in that to say, okay, what do you know you need to happen here? What do you think you want to happen in the structure on Granite Valley? And coming up with kind of a very simple, straightforward, all right, here's what you have. Here's the building dimensions. Here's occupancy issues. Here's what you need to do to extend the useful life of these facilities, meet the needs that you've identified, and gives you a cost estimate. And that gives you the tool to go forward and talk about looking at financing and potentially grants and those kinds of things. So that's Doreen asked us to put that together, so that's what we did. And if you have questions, we can answer them. We can certainly think about this. These buildings aren't going anywhere. Give some time.
Right.
I would go out to do it.
The electric is hooked up on that building, so it's on the physical.
So we can look at things like that. You know, and if there's any upgrades that need to be done to the electrical service to bring it up to code, those kinds of things.
Joe, do we have anything when we did this building over? We don't have anything for here, do we? We did lose all kinds of money inside.
I'm sure it was up to code when we.
When was the ADA put in? When was the ramp put in?
Well, that ramp has been here for a long time.
For a long time.
Probably since the 80s.
80, that's right. That's what we wondered. Because the building, when you can look at historical photographs, you still cover that space, and then it's gone, and now there's a ramp and parking. And that's part of the issue is that how it's connected to the next building. It's very traditional that you have brick walls with spaces in between. So there could be drainage in those spaces. That's really common with this type of construction. In Reed Street in Coxsackie, you may remember a few years ago, we took a building down up there. It was very unsafe, and that was very interesting because it was like a triple wall with multiple chambers, and several of them were load-bearing and connected together, and ended up being much more of a project than I think anyone anticipated. So it would be kind of understanding those kinds of issues.
Yeah, there's a basement in there, and if you went in there, it's water is coming in the back, in that basement.
Figuring out those kinds of things is pretty important.
And that wall, I don't know if that wall was buckling in the back.
I couldn't tell, but it may be, because I live inside the building, but maybe.
Part that faces Water Street.
What a new building for Sean.
We're trying to help out with the Daily Mail building, and that building has water in the basement, and we finally figured out that the water in the basement is coming from roof leaders that are, because that building was built in several different phases, and there's roof leaders coming into the basement, and there were sump pumps, dry wells and sump pumps, and there's like 10 of them. Found like four, so you know that there's more water coming in. That's roof leaders, it's not a drainage problem.
We had a problem here with water coming into the basement, and then we put the new sidewalk in that was part of the deal, and they get the water away, and it's been great.
That's really good.
And of course, we put a couple of humidifiers down there because we use it as a wreckage room.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, but we get no water in there now, and there's pumps down there that pumps it out if there is any. So.
Right, exactly. So yeah. That kind of thing, because that's a pretty neat building back there.
The major work that we've done when Joe was supervisor, Joe did a lot of it. The biggest thing was the front entrance, and where we changed that because there was two entrances, and they had to put a beam on top and put the door in. That was everything else was just
inside,
hanging and. Put the windows and carpeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the other things that we can look at is there's an isotherm for looking at your lights and your heat systems and those kinds of things.
That's new, the heating system.
And that, right, so that may not be part of it, but there's other, they give you the money to do, they give you 50% of the money to do the study.
Which is, that was the purpose of having Mary Beth come tonight. There is, I'm going to guess, at least four different grant opportunities to pursue on this. But we don't know what to apply for until we kind of know.
Well, it's like, that's why I kind of brought up Sean's building, because it needs a new roof.
The windows.
And windows. And yeah.
We can certainly look. Your building needs, I think. Well, I haven't been there in a long time, but.
Needs some TLC.
A lot of work, so.
It does.
And I think
they've been patching the roof for a couple of years.
Right. And obviously, we understand the limitations of the financing of this. Clearly, if we didn't get help, but between the USDA opportunity and then the local government efficiency, and then they have another arm now that is non-competitive, and then you also have NYSERDA, which I did not know about.
NYSERDA.
And so that's at least four grants that I think it would be worth the investment of getting a clear assessment of what it is that we need.
Now,
this is that little baby step.
This may be a silly question, but does the state cap you on how many grants you can get in a calendar year?
That's a good question. Not necessarily. It depends on where the money came from.
Okay.
So there's, like USDA is federal dollars.
That's
mm-hmm. So they have they call it cross cutting. So you can't get, I can't go to Bob, Mr. Federal Guy, and get money from him, and then you go to Joe, and
double
get money from him, and double
right.
dip on a federal basis. But you can do federal state combos. Certain state monies, like our water infrastructure grant, the maximum we can get is $5 million over 5 years. We got like $2.5-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to apply for something else, the maximum we can get is
over another two
and a half. Averages. But they're all different for every single program.
Okay.
But there are communities that annually, every year, like CBDG grants, that qualify their entitlement communities, federal
mm-hmm.
entitlement communities, they go back every single year and get a community development block grant, $600,000, and they just keep going and going and going. So it depends on the program.
Okay.
So the Bridge New York grant, so for instance, this year, we've gotten the Bridge New York grant. We have the initiative with LGE regarding
the code. Mm-hmm.
We also are awaiting some sort of a decision on the Restore New York, which is for the hotel.
Right. My understanding is that program is fully funded, and that everyone who applied and qualified
right.
would be awarded.
So we're anticipating that we'll get that, but I think Patrick's point is a good one. Is there, you know, because I'll go to the well as often as I can get to the well, and we've been pretty
right.
successful right now. We're batting 1,000.
Now, the other thing that folks probably heard in the budget on Tuesday, the governor's talking about $2 billion, and actually what I was doing over there is the staff that's on behind Sean is the legislation that he has proposed,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sorting through. It'll take me, unfortunately, it takes a little while to figure out exactly what they're saying. They're not
900
clear.
Pages, I think.
But what that appears to be is a combination of a continuation of the program that we got our grant through for our wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another, and it looks like the governor's proposing to allocate another $400 million out of the $2 billion in one fiscal year. And then every fiscal year through 2022 or something like that for that program. And then for people who've been around long enough and have been paying attention, they're actually talking about doing another Environment Bond Act, which there hasn't been one since, was it 80?
Oh, I think so.
Six?
Environmental Fund?
Yeah, the Environmental Bond Act, the big bond that they
yeah.
did, was it 80? I think it was 86. So it's been a long time.
Mm.
So they're actually talking about doing that type of a borrowing again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of this $2 billion. And my intent is to sort through what the governor proposed. I'll send you guys an email that will kind of tell you. But like things are in there that are interesting. Salt sheds, which are hard to come by funds for, are included in there. So, right? So there's some stuff in there that kind of piques your interest that's sort of interesting. Some of it isn't going to apply to you guys so much, but there are some things
well,
that I think
but that begs the question as we wander around. You want to ask your...
Yeah, I've had a couple of people approach about starting another sewer system for the 385 corridor. How do we go about
looking into that? So which part are they thinking about?
I think you guys did a plan for that once already, didn't you?
I was going to say, I have like three of them in my office, so let me go see what I have.
Not that long ago either.
I have 385. I have 385 from the village of Coxsackie all the way through the town of Coxsackie and all the way through the town of Athens to the village of Athens.
Well, we would be from...
Then I have another 385 that was...
From Athens to Catskill would be...
Leeds, Athens, Road, Schoharie Turnpike, 385 from the village of Athens to you guys.
Yeah.
So I think I have a whole... over the years covered the whole, all of them. They need to be updated. When all of those, the tough part is you're putting in a lot of miles of pipe without a lot of people to pay for it.
Right.
And we need to, as we did with our project, it's that combination of economic need, which is only a very small part of the formula, but that environmental need. And it's very difficult when you don't have a regulated activity going on to document need. So like, you know, the village has their wastewater treatment plant and they get written up when they hiccup and whatever. And it's easy to say, see, you wrote me up, I have need, give me money. When, like in Leeds, we don't have any regulated activities going on other than our restaurants are regulated. So they get beat on, but our, you know, you at your house, you have a septic system. It's not a regulated activity, unfortunately. So it's the same kind of thing. We need to start thinking about how can we craft a project, because those projects won't go if we can't get grant funds to reduce the cost to make it reasonable. So we'd have to start thinking about that. I can go, why don't I look at those, I'll get those studies. We have a bunch of them.
Well, the big thing now, too, would be is would the village's plant be able to accept that with the addition of Leeds and
we
Jefferson
might have
Heights?
We look at some improvements there. It's a good plant. It's a robust plant, but it does have, obviously, everything has its limitations, mm-hmm. so we'd have to look at that. And that would be another cost that gets assessed against a project like that.
And I don't know if this is as much the question of saying, how can we do this? It's more that I think the Jefferson Leeds exercise has piqued people's curiosity about whether or not they could have something where
well,
they...
The other thing that we may want to think about, and there's a big push, and there's other funds, other grants, available to look at decentralized wastewater collection and services.
Well, the problem with the residents that have approached me is their wells have been contaminated. So it's coming up with E. coli, and they got treated with bleach. And
right. And so, you know...
Because of all the septics around them.
And traditionally, in those situations, what often people want is then they want a drinking water system. You know, they'd rather have water lines extended to them, say, clean drinking water from someplace else, as opposed to building a sewer system. You kind of, in many places, it's one or the rural places, it's one or the other, but not necessarily both. As you start thinking about that layering of costs, gets really expensive. So if you have some residents and you know like their street addresses or their names, we'll put it in GIS, we'll figure out where they are and start looking and saying, okay, is there some way we can be creative to address that issue?
They looked at that back when they did Allen Street.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered.
And
they did.
There was a problem coming from 385 where the red light is.
Mm-hmm.
There was a problem getting from there down to Allen Street.
Wow.
And it was so much money. I mean,
probably rock. If I had to guess.
Train tracks.
Which is really expensive, really fast.
But they did look at it because the whole area is saturated up there. There's nothing but problems up there on 380.
Yeah, the geology is not great. The other end of the system, the Coxsackie Athens end, it's dry wells.
Right.
People haul in water pretty much every summer and have water put in their wells because they just don't. I mean, they're fortunate if they can get 5-6 gallons a minute out of their wells on their best day. And then in a dry summer condition. And sometimes for water quality isn't spectacular. It's all clay, you get perched groundwater, so sometimes the water quality when they do get water is really pretty intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice person show up with pictures of the clear coat that got pulled off their car from washing their well water. So I would use that water. Yeah. So that's something we can look at too. In terms of the building stuff, one of the things that we may want to do is, and you can decide kind of how far you want to go, but maybe what we should do is like Sean's building and whatever, let's put them all down. What do we have? You know, what is its condition just in general?
That's the ambulance building needs a exhaust evacuation system.
That kind of stuff. So that, because there's other money that we can look at. We can look at our own security funds for that. And those are straight grants.
Look inside Lacey's one time.
And we're a pretty good area to go get those kinds of funds. So probably what we ought to do is sort of inventory.
I think probably that sounds like that's where we're at now.
Where do we want to prioritize, and then we can start saying, okay, what are we prioritizing?
Yeah.
You know, what is the kind of situation where we can either go get a grant, and it's a no harm, no foul, it doesn't impact our ability to get some other money for something else, or do we say, okay, well, here's the building that the roof is leaking and it's destroying the equipment, so we really ought to focus on that. This is the next one we ought to look at. This is the next one so that we can prioritize.
Yeah, and it could be that, you know, the original discussion, I mean, this started with the windows are going to fall out. That's where this conversation started, and rather than doing it piecemeal, just like we're trying to get everything on a five-year inventory, it seemed like it was worth it to have a broader discussion, particularly knowing that potentially there was grants, and I owe you an apology. I forgot. I know that you have issues.
You drive past it every day.
I know. I drive by it every day. I salute it to the sand tower.
I'd personally just like to build a new one.
The big white, exactly.
I'd like to build a new one at the town dump, but...
But so maybe we want to do something like that, get an inventory.
Yep.
What do we own? What's its condition?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may have some stuff, like you said, the heating system in this building is new.
Yeah.
Then it's not, you know, we're not going to
take that off the list.
Yeah. Senior center.
Is an EOC by any chance? Is it an emergency operations center?
No.
Well, that's what we could make it into.
Declare
it. If you had
a
shelter.
You can make it a shelter.
So then we can go to Homeland Security and get money for generator. And the thing about that is they won't let us do portables, it has to be permanent.
Right.
I wish they would let us do portables, but they won't pay for portables, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Actually, with the flood, it would have been
good. So I think there's lots of opportunities.
With the flood, it would have been
good.
This
kind of focus specifically on these two things, but maybe we just regroup and say, let's inventory all of our pieces and parts.
That's why I wanted you to come with this, because I knew it was going to generate some other thinking. And now let's go back to the board, drawing board, and then we'll come back after we've kicked it around. You know, we've identified, we've got some funds to be able to make an investment in this, and I think the return on it may be worth our investment.
If nothing else, it's going to give you, we'll put it in an Excel spreadsheet, we'll make it something that you can use yourselves, that you can put... You know, we installed a generator at the senior center in this year, and in 5 years we ought to be looking at the generator and saying, "Are we good? Should we be?" Yep. You know, that kind of stuff. So it's almost like a little mini asset management thing without going crazy.
Exactly.
We really go nuts with asset management.
And this year we did it with the computers and the server, and you know, working on his environment so he knows replacement exercises, doing the same thing with the ambulance. So I think the buildings are. Natural.
Yeah. It's for budgeting purposes, it's really pretty nice. Because then you can sit there and say, okay, we know in the 2019 budget cycle we need to look at X for this building or Y for that building. And you can start thinking about it. It's the most expensive money you ever spend is money you spend in an emergency. When something really bad happens, the roof collapses under a great garage. That has happened. You know, those kinds of things, you know, so...
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mary Beth. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll be back in touch. Any other items before we adjourn? Going once, going twice?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Mr. Giordiano.
Second.
Second for Mr. McCulloch. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for attending.